From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit with another portion of a message entitled The Work of the Holy Spirit in Regeneration. The text for the message is John chapter 6, verse 63, where the Lord Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. We've seen that the Spirit's work in regeneration is a necessary act, for man can do nothing to save himself. Also, it is a gracious act. No man deserves salvation, yet God is pleased to save sinners, to give eternal life to those who deserve eternal damnation. Furthermore, regeneration is a sovereign act, for no man can command the Spirit of God. But where the Spirit works, regeneration is an effectual work, for it never fails to save the sinner. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, Does Jesus command us to hate? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Does the Lord Jesus command us to hate? The simple answer to that would be in that text, Luke 14, yes. That comes as such a shock, doesn't it? Can we ever hate? Modern Christianity has taught the world and told the world that hatred is never right. But the Bible doesn't say that. Now, the passion that we associate with personal hatred and vengeance, that is not right. But when God hates, it is a rejection of someone on legitimate judicial grounds because of their own sin. When God hates, it is because He is, in His holiness, rejecting the unholiness of the sinner. When the psalmist said that he hates God's enemies with a perfect hatred, he is forsaking God's enemies and repudiating them because of his love for God. When Jesus said, if you don't hate your father and your mother for his sake, you can't be his disciple, he's saying if the occasion arises that you've got to choose between Christ and your father or mother, then if you're going to be his disciple, you've got to choose Christ. If that means forsake them, then you've got to forsake them. Now, to follow Christ does not mean that you, out of some spite, hate your parents and throw them over. But it does mean that if your parents demand it's either Christ or us, that your decision will be for Christ. This is the context. The Lord Jesus in Luke 14, in setting the conditions of discipleship, is talking about forsaking one thing to follow Him, forsaking another thing to follow Him. And it's in that context that He speaks of hating father and mother. It is losing them to gain Christ. Now, wise parents will certainly not put their children in that position, but I know and have known through my life of various cases where people have been put in that position, where parents have actually said, you become a Christian and you'll be out of this house. I know of one case where a young man found all his belongings on the doorstep when he arrived home. He was repudiated by his parents. The choice was up to him. If you have Christ, you're not going to have your parents in that situation. Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, you choose me above everybody else. That's the force of Christ's command. It is not a call to indulge in personal spite, personal animosity, or to seek out of some personal passion to execute vengeance on our parents or anybody else. That is always wrong.
Thank you. Come, Christians, join to sing. Alleluia, amen. Loud praise to Christ our King. Alleluia, amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Great Revival, which took place in Ulster in 1859, a moving of God's Holy Spirit which saw literally thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers will deal with various aspects of the revival. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of the Reverend John Wiley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And what is the greatest need of the church today? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
How do we believe? We believe according to the working of the very power that it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how I believe. Now, that's not my word. That is the categoric statement of God the Holy Spirit. We believe according to the working of the power of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Should that come as a surprise? When he says, when he saves you, he raises you from the dead. So the faith we exercise is not screwing up some ability of the flesh. It is, as Ephesians 2 and 8 says, the gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's the first result in our lives of regeneration. Colossians 2 and 12 teaches again the operation of omnipotence to give us faith. And thus, regeneration is a gracious act of God. We didn't deserve it. In fact, the very opposite. We didn't prepare ourselves to receive it. In fact, the very opposite. We were resisting the Holy Ghost. It wasn't because we believed. We believed rather as the result of this. This is totally the act of God in grace. When I realized that, there was I, a poor, vile, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. With every muscle in my body, I was striving to oppose God and go to the pit. And yet God, out of the free grace that the Bible reveals, reached down and he saved this guilty soul. I can only say, with Jonah of old, salvation is of the Lord. And I give God the glory. It's a gracious act. That means, thirdly, it's a sovereign act. Verse 8 of John 3, the wind blows where it lists. Now remember, he's speaking under a figure here of the Holy Spirit. Translated into spiritual terms, therefore, what the Lord Jesus is saying is the Holy Spirit moves where he wants to. I like that, you know. He moves where he wants to. The Holy Spirit regenerates according to his own sovereign will. Now let all the demons in hell say we are going to stop the Holy Ghost. They'll not stop him. Let all the political and social forces of this age be gathered to say the work of the Holy Spirit must come to an end. They can have all the meetings to decide such things they want. They can exercise all the power that they want. But they can't stop the Holy Ghost. Churches in Russia, you know, are proving that. They're proving it. There you've got a government that has outlawed Bible Christianity. There you've got a government that has gone round churches and has taken all the pastors of those churches and thrown them into jail. And what has happened? God has raised up a pastor for every one that they have incarcerated. And whereas they say particularly, we are going to let this die out with the old people and there must be no young people allowed to be infected with this poisonous doctrine of Jesus Christ. Yet today those services are thronged with young people. Why? Because not all the Kremlin leaders in hell or out of hell can ever stop the work of the Holy Ghost. He's sovereign. The sovereign Spirit of God. This truth seen in many, many scriptures that I don't have time to pursue through this morning. But you sometimes have a look at Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, where God says, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to take away the stony heart. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. I will do it. That's the sovereign act of God. I've already quoted James 1 and 18, of his own will begat he us. That's the sovereign act of God. You've often, I'm sure, read or quoted John chapter 1. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Verse 13. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's the sovereign act of the Holy Spirit. In regeneration, this is the statement that sums it all up. In regeneration. Now, in nothing else, just in regeneration, man is absolutely passive and God is absolutely active. And the result of that is that man, regenerated by the Spirit of God, is enabled to be active for God from that point forward, through time and throughout all eternity. Furthermore, the sovereignty of God is seen from this fact. And again, this shocks some people. Regeneration is not accomplished by the use of any means. God does not use means to regenerate a soul. Now, don't misunderstand me. You might read John Owen, for instance, a great Puritan theologian, and he'll speak about God using means. You might read another, Herman Witsius, I think of him, one of the great theologians, who spoke of God not using means, but using preparation. And you say, these fellows are all getting tied in knots, and they're contradicting each other. Well, it's just a tragedy that as time progresses, we're using language in different ways under different circumstances, and there's only an apparent contradiction. They're speaking of different things. Let me say this to you. Let's get this. In conversion, yes, God uses means. Because conversion comes about as the exercise of faith. And God says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So yes, there are means used in almost every part of our spiritual experience. But that initial act that brings a dead man to life is the act of God. And he does it, as we would say in theology, immediately, with no one in between. He doesn't need a mediating human priest. He doesn't need a mediating baptism. He doesn't need a mediating anything. How do you know this from Scripture? Well, let me give you the Bible. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What happened in creation? God said, let there be light, and there was light. What happens when a man is regenerated? God says, let there be light, the very light of life, and there is light. God does it immediately. That's regeneration. Let me give you an illustration. John chapter 11. The Lord Jesus was standing at the grave of Lazarus. Now, let me ask you, in all honesty, how active was Lazarus in raising himself from the dead? He wasn't active at all. He was lying dead. Let me ask you something else. How did Lazarus cooperate with God in raising himself from the dead? He just lay there dead. Well, let me ask you something else then. What means did the Lord use to raise Lazarus from the dead? No means at all. There was a dead Lazarus. There was the life-giving Christ. And Christ commanded Lazarus, come forth. And in that command, there was imparted life. And Lazarus came forth. That's how the Holy Spirit works in regeneration. It is the immediate action of the eternal Spirit of God upon the dead soul of man, communicating life to him. It's a sovereign act. It's the work of God alone. That means it's an effectual act. God commanded, let there be light. Was there light? Yes, there was light. When God commands, let there be light in a soul, there is light. It's an effectual act. This is what we call the effectual call, or irresistible grace. Man, the number of people I have known to get tied in knots over those terms, And they begin to get worried and say, well, have you not said that sinners resist the Holy Ghost? What are you talking about, irresistible grace? Well, let's define our terms very carefully. There is an effectual call. Romans 8:28 says that we are called according to the purpose of God. Romans 8:29 says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now there you have the links in the chain of grace. And I want to tell you, there's no break in those links. Whom he called, he justified. Now, here's an effectual call. Everyone whom God calls in this way, he justifies. Now, I admit there is an outward general call of the gospel. Jesus said, Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. So there's a general call. And that call, sinners always resist. Proverbs 1:24, I have called, you have refused. Sinners always resist the call of the gospel. And if that's all God ever did for a sinner, we would all go to hell. For there's not one of us would ever come at the call of the gospel. But thank God for that irresistible, effectual call where the Holy Spirit works internally and infallibly and leads us to life in Jesus Christ. That makes the work of salvation effectual, as Paul teaches very clearly in Ephesians 3:7. God worked in him effectually, so he says, again in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. What assurance this gives. How do I know I'll go to heaven? How do I know that? Now I want to give you the answer that most Christians give. Well, I know I'm going to heaven because I remember the night that I bowed and the tears ran down my cheeks. Now, I'm not mocking that. I thank God for the day I bowed the knee at the cross. And I thank God for every tear shed under the conviction of the Spirit of God. I do not underestimate or undervalue that experience. My friend, I want to tell you that experience could never give me the assurance that I will certainly be in heaven. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Paul says, Philippians 1:6, having this confidence that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Christ. That's how I know I'll be in heaven. The new birth is the work of the Holy Ghost, and when he has begun that work, he's going to carry it right through to glorification. Having communicated the merits of Christ to bring me to life, he's going to communicate the merits of Christ to confirm me in life, and that for all eternity. What assurance it brings to know that God's work is effectual.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.